continue with what we started with last week in Sunday school. And so I have a handout. So we'll get this going around here. Should be enough for everybody. All right. So we're dealing with our theme passage here, 1 Chronicles 12:32. So let's look there, 1 Chronicles 12:32. So we have 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. So if your Bible falls open to 1 Kings, just go over a couple books. But 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. Now this passage is dealing with those that make up David's armies, and he had men from different of the tribes. But verse 32 says, "And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, and the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment." All right, so the tribe of Issachar in David's day, Scripture says, had an understanding of the times. An understanding of the times with relationship to what Israel ought to do. So really all human history, certainly from the time of Abraham following. Maybe keep them in the back. Okay, thank you. certainly from the time of Abraham following, all human history relates around Israel. And it relates around Jerusalem, for that matter. And so, having an understanding of the times. So, they understood in their day the Lord's plan for Israel. And that's a good guide for understanding the world situation. And so they had that understanding. So we're going to talk about understanding the times. If that was true in their day, I think it's applicable as well. It's true in our day as well. We need to have understanding of the times, and the understanding of the times relates to Israel. All right, now let's look at another passage here in the Old Testament, in Zechariah chapter 12. So I'm reviewing a little bit, but review and repetition is good. So in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 2. Now, the book of Zechariah is very, very prophetic. Many prophecies about the Lord and His first and second coming are found here in Zechariah. But chapter 12, verse 2, the Lord says, "Behold, I make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, and they shall be in siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem." All right, now notice once again, focus on Judah and Jerusalem and Jerusalem, a cup of trembling. Now the word trembling here has to do with agitation. It gives the idea of wine agitating or having an impact or an effect. So the idea is Jerusalem is like a cup of very strong wine. You take a sip of this very strong wine, and it will have an effect on you. All right. Now, obviously, it's not encouraging that, but Jerusalem is like a cup of very strong wine that will have a major impact. And so the idea seems to be, in the context here, when the people are sieging Jerusalem, and they take a drink of the cup of trembling of Jerusalem, they're going to be in bad shape. So the idea is anyone in history that messes around with the Lord's chosen people's chosen city is going to have bad ramifications. So that's the idea here. It's a cup of trembling. So that this is in a great prophetic book. There's a cup of trembling back there in the first century. It's been a cup of trembling through the ages. It's a cup of trembling today as well. And so anyone who messes around with the Lord's chosen people and His chosen city is in for a bad time. And now, the nation of Israel, relatively very small, but it certainly is not a place to be tampered with, and certainly Jerusalem not to be tampered with. And so we see today a great deal of controversy and all kinds of things going on relative to Jerusalem. Even the effort to have the American embassy in Jerusalem now is a big controversial issue. Well, we have a biblical mindset here. We have a biblical mindset. So the biblical mindset comes from understanding the times and understanding what the Lord is doing with Israel and with Jerusalem. So if you can gauge what the Bible has to say about what the Lord has done and is doing and will do with regard to Israel and Jerusalem, you'll have a good gauge on what's going on in the world today. So we look there at 1 Chronicles 12:32, and the tribe of Issachar had an understanding of the times with relationship to Israel. Zechariah 12:2 talks about the Lord has made Jerusalem a cup of trembling, and so there is agitation and ramifications of this agitation whenever Jerusalem comes under attack. This is why, from certainly an American point of view, America has been pro-Israel, pro-Jerusalem, and we hope it will remain that way. But if it doesn't, who's going to be the loser on this? You see, so we have a biblical mindset here. Now, in the handout that I've given you, the handout is entitled "The Antichrist." The Antichrist, and so we want to go over this because this brings in a lot of understanding of the times. Now, when we get done here, we're not going to name the Antichrist, so don't get your hopes up. We don't know. He will be identified after the rapture. So nobody knows who the Antichrist is today. And nobody knows when he's going to come on the scene, because nobody knows when the trigger is going to happen to allow him to come on the scene. That's going to be the rapture. Nobody knows these things. So we can't set dates. We can't name names as far as the Antichrist. But we can have a biblical perspective on this. So we need to be like the tribe of Issachar and have an understanding of the times. All right? All right, so let's look at this. I'm going to go through the first part there and then look at some broader points here. So, the Antichrist. Antichrist. So, Antichrist, a compound word made up of two words, preposition anti and the word Christ. Anti means, the Greek word behind, or anti, means either, or means both, against and in the place of. Against and in the place of. So, Antichrist. So, the Antichrist is going to be against Christ, and he's going to be in the place of Christ as a substitute. Now, he's going to be a false substitute, obviously, but he's going to be in the place of Christ. So, point one there, name meaning titles. Antichrist means against or in the place of Christ. Matthew 24, the Lord said in the great passage here relating to his coming and so on. Matthew 24 is turned there. So in his Olivet Discourse, as not normally called, Matthew chapter 24, verse 24, he says, this is during the tribulation time, for there shall rise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So here we have false Christ. Now, this is not the actual word Antichrist, but false Christ. And false prophets. And they will have the satanic supernatural power to perform great signs and wonders. Now, keep in mind here, Satan is a powerful creature. He has the ability to produce supernatural wonders for his benefit. power to do this. He did in the Old Testament. He will in the tribulation time, and he does as well now. So he can produce supernatural wonders. So if you're wondering, for instance, about these statues of Mary that bleed blood and have actual salt water coming out of them, tears and so on. This is not a hoax for the most part. This is supernatural ability of Satan to do this. And what he wants to do is to get people caught in this. And keep this in mind. If Satan, according to the New Testament, if Satan can bring a physical affliction on a person, cause sickness on a person, he can remove that sickness, so-called healing. Follow that? If he can give the sickness, he can remove it. Now, there are many, many examples in the New Testament where individuals were demon-possessed and they had all kinds of afflictions. And Christ exorcised the demons and the afflictions went away. Satan can give so-called healings. He can produce so-called miracles. He can have statues of Mary bleeding and crying and so on and so forth. He has the ability to do this. So we need to realize that. Now, I know in some cases there may be forgery and fakery here, and there may be made-up things, but there is reality behind that. And he can give so-called healings. Why does he do this? Well, he does this to tap into people who want an experience. So Satan can give you a spiritual experience, and you get that experience, and you say, I don't care what the Bible says. I went to the Lord's, or I went to this place or that place, and I was healed, and I don't care what the Bible says, I was healed. Well, you better make sure that you're praying to the right Lord, and it's the right Lord who does these things, you know, not a false one. So Scripture indicates here in the future, but Satan has this power in the past as well. False Christs, false prophets shall show signs and wonders. This will be during the tribulation time. But he can do that right now. By the way, he's the prince of the power of the air. He can produce bright lights in the air. Some people call these UFOs. He can do this. He does do this. He's the one behind all this. There are no aliens on other planets, as people say. The Christ came to this earth to die for mortal creatures known as humans on this earth and not anywhere else. So there's not aliens out there. And there are people on other so-called planets. Earth is not a planet, by the way. But there's not aliens on planets out there. Now, there may be activity out there, but that's satanic. Satanic. So in all these tabloids that are in the grocery lines there at the grocery store, and you're looking at them, and you know, all kinds of fantastical things, this is satanic. And people have this great aspect to them where they just believe these things. If you're not going to believe the truth, you'll believe any other lie. You believe any lie, rather. If you don't believe the truth, you believe a lie. And so why do these tabloids continue year after year? Because they make money, because people buy them. They're junk. They're full of satanic messages and heresy and false teaching and so on. All right, but anyway, enough of that. We get back here to Satan. So false Christ and so on. Now let's look at other passages. The New Testament uses the word Antichrist four times in the singular, once in the plural. Let's look there in 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. John says, little children, it is the last time. John wrote in the first century. So we've been in the last time since the first century. Last time relates to when would the Messiah come? The Messiah came in the last time. Now, we've been in the last time or last times, depends on what passage you're looking at, for 2,000 years. We're in the last time or last times. Little children, is the last time, and as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrist, whereby we know that is the last time. So many Antichrist, but everything's going to culminate with one final Antichrist. All right, so that's 1 John 2:18. So here we find Antichrist in the singular and Antichrist in the plural. Then we notice in verse 22, 1 John 1:22, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is an Antichrist that denieth that the Father and the Son. So those that deny that Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah, they're promoting a Antichrist message. So here we see another reference to Antichrist. Then over there in 4:3, 1 John 4:3, third reference to Antichrist. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. And see, all these passages that relate to Antichrist are an attack upon who Jesus is, his person and his work. Satan hates the person of Christ. Hence, he's Antichrist. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. So this is denying the incarnation. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. The spirit of Antichrist already in the world. All right, then let's look at 2 John chapter 1. 2 John chapter 1. Verse 7, and many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. Again, the denial of the incarnation. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. All right, let's look at our timeline here. This is the timeline the Bible gives us of human history. All right, so timeline of human history. We organize this around the way the Lord does. Here we have the Old Testament era. We have the New Testament era. We have what's called the tribulation time. We have the thousand-year reign of Christ. And then out here is the eternal state, eternity. At the end of the millennium, the Lord is going to destroy this present heavens and earth, burn it all up. And he's going to create a new heavens and earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. This is his plan. So, right now, time-wise, let's see, we could do this right here. Right now, we're down here. Tribulation hasn't happened yet, but there's the cross. So we're in this New Testament era. And creation started about 4,000 B.C. We're 2,000 years past Christ. So there's about 6,000-year human history, 6,000 years. I know that's a vast contrast with what you learned in grade school and high school if you went to a public school. But evolution is part of Satan's system here. But anyway, in all of this, we find that way back here with Adam and Eve in the garden. So the Lord Jesus Christ alluded to Adam and Eve in the garden. He believed in the literal six-day creation. He believed Adam and Eve were created, because he's there, by the way. And so the Lord in the New Testament affirms his belief in a literal Adam and Eve. All right? And so in Genesis, when Adam and Eve sinned, then the Lord said in Genesis 3:15, so this is a great seed promise, Genesis 3:15. So I repeat some of these things regularly on purpose so that these just start coming to your mind. Every time you want to talk about seed, probably start with 3:15. So he says to the serpent, and I will put enmity between thee, the serpent, and the woman. What woman? Well, this is Eve, only woman then. And between thy seed, the serpent's seed. Well, he's not talking about baby snakes. All right, let's go on. And her seed, the woman's seed, is going to be a man. The second clause says it. The Hebrew word behind that is who, which is H-U actually, but that's a pronoun for he. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So this is the beginning of the spirit of Antichrist movement. So here we have the beginning of this conspiracy of the Antichrist against Christ. This is really what all human history is about. Satan is the one who promotes this spirit of Antichrist, and eventually the spirit of Antichrist will culminate on an actual individual who will be the Antichrist. All right. But here we see the movement of the spirit of Antichrist through human history. And there have been many, many enemies to Christ upon whom the spirit of Antichrist has come. But there'll be one individual in the tribulation time who will fulfill this passage. All right, so here we see the beginning of the movement of the spirit of Antichrist. Satan, his seed. So somehow he's going to possess and fill and control some human who will submit to him, and that will be the Antichrist. But here we see the beginning of this. So, it shall bruise thy head. That's Christ. Christ will bruise the head of the serpent. And thou shalt bruise his heel. That's probably a cryptic reference to Satan being involved in working in the hearts of the enemies of Christ to have them put on the cross. Now remember, the Lord orchestrated the whole thing. The cross has been God's plan. But Satan thinks he's going to finish Christ off on the cross, and he's working right into the Lord's plan. You see how the Lord works there? He orchestrates everything. And so he uses all of his creation either for good or bad. Keep that in mind. He will use you today, either for good or bad. We're all used by the Lord for good or bad. So who are we going to serve? If we serve the old nature, we're going to be serving Satan. Think of that. If we serve the new nature, we're going to be serving the Lord. If we submit ourselves to the new nature. All right. So anyway, this is the perspective that we have here. Who's behind all this violence in the world that just keeps getting worse and worse and worse? Satan, as he is energizing people with the spirit of Antichrist to bring about revolt, rebellion, and the destruction everywhere. And it just seems to be increasing, increasing. You can hardly check the news any day without some new terrible event going on. Now, I don't think that's necessarily just because we have more access to news, worldwide news instantly, but it's just really taking off. But we need to know what's going on here. And we do, from a Bible point of view. So, anyway, let's see. We'll use red here. So, this movement. All the way through the tribulation time is the spirit of Antichrist movement. Start back here in the garden, and Satan and his seed, who will be the Antichrist, against the woman and her seed, who will be Christ. And the battle will culminate during the tribulation time when Satan will use Antichrist to gain the forces for the Battle of Armageddon to come against Jerusalem, to destroy Jerusalem, with him thinking he'll have victory over Christ. Christ will come back, and he'll destroy the false prophet and the Antichrist, cast them to the lake of fire. He'll stop the Battle of Armageddon, and he'll imprison Satan for 1,000 years. So the Lord will have the victory here. But right now, the spirit of Antichrist is present. Now, during this New Testament dispensation, so keep in mind now the things up here, at some point, there's going to be the catching away of believers. We call that the rapture. The rapture is going to usher in then the Antichrist, who will make a league or a covenant with Israel for 7 years. And he'll be able to do that once the rapture occurs here. And believers are caught up. Now, unbelievers will be left here on the world. But during this time, so what John was saying here, we're the last time, so John is saying there are antichrists. And he also, Paul indicates men shall wax worse and so what we find here in human history is evil just keeps getting larger and larger and larger. And so it keeps waxing worse and worse. Keeps getting worse and worse. And there were antichrists, and there are more antichrists all along the line here. But all this is going to culminate in one individual, the Antichrist, on the other side of the rapture. So, 2 Timothy chapter 3:13 says, men shall wax worse and worse. In other words, evil is going to increase and increase and increase. And so, we look around, we say, can it get any worse? Well, people all through the last 2,000 years have been saying, can it get any worse? Yeah, it can get worse. Just a matter of when is the Lord going to step in? So we're trying to have an understanding of the times. So here is a literal and consistent depiction of the way the Lord has outlined history. We've got everything up prior to Christ. We call this the Old Testament era. And everything from Christ through the book of Revelation, he having been written in the first century, that's the New Testament, first century, and then we're in the New Testament era. We'll be in the New Testament era until the rapture occurs, and then the Lord is going to give 7 years of tribulation, which the Bible calls Jacob's trouble. So it's going to be tribulation on the Jews, but there'll be a collateral judgment on Gentiles. Right. Then after that, he's going to set up a 1,000-year reign where the Lord Jesus Christ is going to rule from Jerusalem in his resurrected body for 1,000 years with a rod of iron, and there'll be no wars. There'll be a time of peace. There'll be a time of forced peace because you have a rod of iron. But anybody gets out of line, the Lord will be just, and he will deal with them. That's one of the things that certainly the world calls for, and believers for sure. Where is the justice in this world? When are some of these hypocrites and evil people going to be dealt with? I mean, we have the discernment to see that there's so much wicked. When is there going to be some justice? Well, he's going to demand justice, a holy justice on the earth. That's the millennium. And I think what we can say here is a great deal of the world right now, and so this is not just American eschatology, this is worldwide thinking. A great deal of the world right now is trying to figure out how do we protect our countries, how do we stop the evil that's worldwide. We need somebody. We need somebody who will have the solution to all the evil in the world and all the complexity and everything, and somebody who will deal with the complexity of these pesky Jews who are in Jerusalem who never seem to be able to go away. All right? Now, I'm not naming names. I'm just saying this is what the world's looking for. It's what the world's looking for. And so somebody's going to step forward. But I think certainly many people are saying, where is this time of peace? We need world peace. Even the good old UN says we're going to bring world peace. No, they won't. The world peace is not going to come through the UN, so don't promote that. but it'll come through the Lord Himself. Anyway, that's a little bit of the background there. Now let's look here in some other passages. So we looked at other designations here. So the serpent seed, point one. Number two, he's also known as the branch. So this is found in Isaiah 25, but the branch is the anti-branch. Christ is also known as the branch. So we have an anti-branch here. He's going to be the little horn. Let's look there in Daniel 7, for instance. The book of Daniel gives so much background for understanding. In fact, let's look at chapter 9, first of all. So, all theological systems that want to deal with the future must deal with Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 through 27. And so, the Lord, the angel says to Daniel, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Now, the Hebrew there has 77s. Weeks is a translation of the word seven here. So, 77s. We try to figure out, well, what is the time element of 77s? Well, chapter 12 indicates, by putting several verses together, we can figure out that the 77s are years. So this is 490 years. And 490 years then are determined upon thy people. Thy people be Daniel's people. And he gives six infinities here what he's going to do during this time. But what I want to bring out here is in verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, so this was when Cyrus came along. So Cyrus was the one who was the Gentile who told the Jews that they could come back into Jerusalem and rebuild. So Daniel now was in captivity. And the Lord is revealing to Daniel through the angel that in a very short period of time, Jews are going to be able to come back to Jerusalem and rebuild. And they did that. So the book of Haggai, Zechariah, and Ezra, and Nehemiah, these books depict the building of that second temple after Solomon's temple. But if you put together some sort of a chronology here, so I'm making some big jumps, but that was about 445 B.C. when the Jews were let back in. And so if you project in forward here, 483 years, you come out with, it includes the 7 weeks and then the 62 weeks or years, and you figure out that right before the Messiah is cut off, verse 26 says, after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. So that's including the seven. So that's 483 years. So from 445 to 483 years forward, you come out with about AD 30 crucifixion of Christ. Now, you have to throw in the fact that the Jews' years were 360 days, not 365. So, you've got to do some math here. But anyway, it figures out about AD 30 is when Christ was crucified. So what the Scripture is indicating here then is sometime back here, about 445 B.C., Cyrus told the Jews they could come back in and rebuild Jerusalem. And so, we have this period here, and that's seven sevens and then 62 sevens, or that turns out to be 483 years, right prior to the cross. Now keep in mind there's 7 years left. That 7 years is over here at tribulation time. But after 483 years, or the seven plus the 62 times seven, after that there's going to be the cross cutting off of the Messiah. And then there was going to be the sanctuary destroyed. And then there would be the 70th week, or the last 7 weeks here, that conclusion of the 70 weeks, that will be the tribulation. So We have two events in an interval between the 483 years or the 69 weeks and the 70th week, the interval. Now, we are living in that interval. We're living in the interval. Two events had to happen. That had to be the cross, because Scripture is clear on that. Lord had to be, Messiah had to be cut off. But notice Daniel, or the angel, throws in there a theological point. The Messiah wasn't cut off for himself. He didn't die for himself. He died for everybody else. There's a little theological point he brings in. But then he goes on to say, and the people of the prince that shall come and destroy the city. So who destroyed the city in A.D. 70? The Romans. So the people of the prince. So the prince here seems to be a Roman. Shall come and destroy the city and the sanctuary. What city? Jerusalem. What sanctuary? The second temple. This is the sanctuary or the temple that Christ went in and out of. And the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he, so who's the he? Well, it's the prince. The princes of the Roman people. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. What week is that? That's the last week of the 70 weeks. He shall confirm a covenant. And in the midst of that week, so 3.5 years into that week, that last 7 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overspreading and abomination, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. All right, so the middle point of the tribulation time, the Antichrist is going to kill the two witnesses around the temple. And he's going to then go into the temple and demand the Jews as their Messiah to worship him. That's his ultimate goal. I want God's chosen people to worship me. So he has vested interest in that building of the next temple. Now let's look here in 2 Thessalonians, for instance. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. So here in 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, Paul is saying to this Thessalonian church, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, that's our word apostasy, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So notice two terms used for the Antichrist, man of sin and son of perdition. Perdition means perishing. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all? Notice those words, opposeth, that's against, exalteth, that's in the place of. Himself above all, that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So Antichrist is going to sit in the temple, the tribulation temple, or that's the third temple. He's going to sit there, and he's going to cause all the animal sacrifice to cease, and he's going to demand the Jews to worship him. And in Revelation chapter 12, this gives the rest of the picture. The Jews, for the most part, are going to flee. At least the remnant Jews are going to flee. And the Lord is going to hide these remnant Jews for the last 3.5 years. But that's a picture of the Antichrist, what's going to happen, and the eschatological plan. So now keep in mind here, the Jews living in the first century, they had this prophecy of Daniel. And as they looked at this prophecy, they knew that it could be filled. So Peter and John and James, they knew that it could be fulfilled in their lifetime. That's why they were expecting a Messiah. That's why even Herod said, where's this king going to be born? I mean, there was expectation in this generation that the prophesied Messiah would come. He would come. So the first century saints, the believers, and even unsaved Herod, they knew that was the era in which the Messiah would come. So that's why, if you look there in John's Gospel, for instance, chapter 1, here we see the disciples talking about this. John chapter 1, notice we have in verse 40. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew. So Andrew heard John the Baptist speak, and John the Baptist was saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God that take away the sin of the world." And so he comes to his brother Simon Peter, verse 41. He says, "We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ." I mean, think of this. We are living in the era that the Messiah is coming, and we found him. The forerunner, John the Baptist, saying, "This is the man right here. We have found him." So they were expecting. They were expecting the Messiah to come. So this is their understanding there. Even the Pharisees and scribes, see, they had major worries. We're in this era in which the Messiah has come, and this man Jesus from Nazareth, he's claiming to be the Messiah, and he's doing all these inconvenient things because he's healing people and raising people from the dead. This is so highly inconvenient for our system. And we were suspecting he might be the Messiah because this is the era, and he's doing all these things that were prophesied here. But we cannot have him to be the Messiah. So what will we do? We will kill him. That's what they wanted to do. And so we'll read about that, or we'll talk about that today. So here is, anyway, an overview of what's happening here. And so we take this template. We need to take this, have a mental image of this template. You might want to write the template down like this. Put it down somewhere in your Bible or something, or at least have a mental image of this template, and lay this on human history, including our current history. Now, we don't have any idea when the rapture is going to occur. And so Harold Camping was wrong. Remember that? 2012, for sure. In the spring, for sure. Oh, no, missed that. It's going to be in the fall. Yeah, for sure, in the fall. It's going to be in the fall. Remember that? No, he was wrong. Nobody knows. Nobody knows when the Lord's coming back. But, we need to have an understanding of the times. No signs for the coming of the Lord. But have an understanding. Now, the Jews have always wanted to rebuild since the first temple was destroyed. So they've been actively working on that century after century, and something always stops them. Well, it's the Lord. He's not going to let them rebuild until after the rapture. But there's a lot of the preachers out there on the Internet that are saying, we've got all the signs now. The Jews have the building blocks over there. There are these red heifer farms. They have to have a red heifer to kill the red heifer, burn it, put the ashes in water, and then cleanse the temple and all this. So we've got red heifer farms, and red heifers are all over the place, and we've got priest clothing made. We've got the blocks, and these are all signs that the rapture is going to happen in 2017. It was 16, but now it's going to be 2017. Rapture is going to happen. Now, we don't know. The Lord may come back. But there are no signs. The Jews have been doing this. See, you have to ask the question, what is the shelf life for a sign? Well, you have to ask that question. So how long does a sign last before it's outdated? All right. A lot of people were saying 1948, when Israel became a nation, that was a sign. And 40 years, they said, 40 years after 1948, the Lord would come back. Well, that was 1988. Big emphasis there in 1988. Of course, he didn't come back. And then some say, well, no, a generation, so they point out these verses, a generation is 50 years, not 40 years. So it's 1998. Now we got it down this time. All this is nonsense. It has no biblical basis. All right? But what we do know is that we have this template. We can lay it on past history, future history, but current history as well. We don't know who the Antichrist is. We don't know when the Lord's coming back. We don't know who the Lord's going to use. And in the last 8 years, we had some suspicions, but those apparently have come and gone. Now we've got some new players on the field. And we don't know how the Lord's going to work this out. We don't know how. But the big point for us is make sure we're saved. And know the Lord. Because Satan is going to use an unsaved person, and he's going to indwell and energize that unsaved person to be the Antichrist. All right, let's conclude in prayer. We'll continue this next time. Our Father, we thank you for the time we've had here. We pray you'll help us to have an understanding of the times, be able to apply these truths and be on the watch and see how things work out, and help us to guide our own lives, that we're ready for the Lord to come back whenever He does come, we pray. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.